morning, and we're going to be talking about, continuing to talk about Moses and his relationship with the Lord this morning. Last week I told you we're going to be, over the next several weeks, going to be talking about Moses and Joshua, looking at some leadership kinds of questions and issues here. We looked last week at Moses and him fleeing in fear and running away because of what he had done, and then all the things from that have to do with Moses getting ready for what God is calling him to do. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Our lesson titled this morning is No Excuses. And it has to do with taking risk. And that's part of what we're trying to focus on in our trying to be more of a church of excellence for the Lord, is being able to risk more than what other people think is safe. Okay? And here we're going to look at, you know, Moses' willingness to take risk. And really, when you see this story for what's going on, it really tells us that Moses did not have a high degree of a desire to be willing to take the risks that God wanted him to take. Okay? And so what can we learn from that? What can we learn from Moses about taking risks and being able to leave our comfort zones and our comfortable way of life to take risks to do what God calls upon us to do? We start out in looking at this lesson of no excuses with the question that Moses asked when God confronted him. Last week we saw Moses there at the burning bush, and God told him to take off your shoes, for the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. Well, it didn't stop there. The reason that God appeared to Moses in that way is because he had a job for him to do. Okay? And it's not like in today's world when people are trying to find jobs, you got to turn in a resume, and then you got to do these job interviews and all this stuff. All of that was already taken care of. God had already decided who he wanted to do this job. In fact, he decided that before Moses was even born. You see? So Moses didn't have to go through an interview process. He didn't have to submit a resume or anything like that. Can you imagine what that resume might have looked like had he had to do one? See, for 40 years I was raised in Pharaoh's house in royalty, had a life of privilege, didn't really have to do much of anything, so no work experience. Okay, for the next 40 years I've been tending sheep. Okay, he didn't have to do that. God just called him and said, Moses, I got some work for you to do. And Moses' response, if you turn over to Exodus chapter 3, is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Exodus chapter 3, after the conversation began with take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground, God lets Moses know that he has heard the misery of his people there in bondage in Egypt. And he says to Moses that he's going to send him to go and rescue these folks. Now I want you to look at verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Well, basically what Moses is really saying there is, stop the train here a minute, Lord. I'm nobody. I'm nobody significant. I'm nobody important here. Why did you pick me for this? See? You ever maybe kind of felt that way when somebody asked you to do something? You're thinking, I'm not qualified to do this job. I don't have any experience in that. See? And so then you're starting to think like Moses, I'm nobody. See? I'm not the right one for this job, is what Moses is saying to the Lord. But notice how God responds to Moses' initial you know, refusal to do this work, okay? He says, I will be with you, the Lord says to Moses. Now, we need to understand what that statement really means. What's he really telling Moses, and what's he telling us by saying, I will be with you? There's a whole lot more to that statement than just the idea of God saying, okay, Moses, if you look to your right, you look to your left, I'm going to be standing beside you. There's a whole lot more to that. When God says to Moses, I will be with you, it is a statement by God saying that His presence is essential to this calling. Okay? That God is helping Moses to understand He would not be calling Moses to do this job if he wasn't willing to be there with him. And so the first part of it is that God is saying to him, I will be with you, that is essential to the fact of me calling you to do this to begin with. Okay? And secondly, it's also saying that God is going to provide for Moses what he needs to accomplish this task. So you see, it's more than just that idea of Moses being able to look around and see, well, okay, God's here. Oh no. It's much, much more than that. You see, God has called him to do a work, and God is going to be there with him through that work, and he's going to provide what he needs to accomplish the work he's called him to do. You see, Moses needed to understand that, because what that meant was that, first of all, it wasn't Moses' work that he'd be doing. It was God's work. You see? And secondly, it would be God's power that would enable him to do the task, not Moses' ability or lack thereof. So when God says, I will be with you, we need to be thinking in those kinds of terms. You see? Because God has called each and every one of us to task also. Right?
Yeah.
Okay? So when God has called you to the general task of saving souls and to specific tasks of work within His kingdom, you need to be understanding it in the same way instead of saying, who am I that I should do it? You need to be able to look at it and understand that God is saying, I'm giving you this task, and I will be with you. Okay? I will be with you. And really, it's not you that's going to be doing it. It's going to be my power that's going to be working through you. Okay? I've told people this before. I don't know that I've ever told it in this kind of an audience, this one, but individually, I know I've told people this before. And you probably would not believe this, but way, way back in my younger days, back when I was a trooper, I had a problem with just the whole idea of standing up in front of people and talking. Yeah. Yeah. I know y'all laughing going, no way. Yes way. Yes way. See? But I'm convinced and have been for a long, long time that the reason I'm able to do what I do is because God is with me and it's His work I'm doing, not mine. You see, it's by His power that I do what I do. You see? So guys, I'm going to pick on you a minute. Watch your toes. You know, when we say, hey, we need somebody to teach this class, or we need somebody to lead this prayer, or we need somebody, and you guys will respond, go, I can't do that. You need to think about it and realize you're sounding just like Moses. Okay? And ladies, when we ask and say, well, ladies, we need somebody to do this task or that task, go, I can't do that. You're sounding just like Moses. Who am I? I'm not the preacher, or I'm not one of the elders, or I don't have this skill or that skill. It's God's power. It's God's strength that will allow you to do what He has called upon you to do. And that's part of what we need to understand. Turn over for just a moment. Keep your finger right here, because we're going to come right back here. But turn over to 1 Corinthians for just a moment, chapter 12. And notice something that the Apostle Paul reminds us of. Okay? Now, here, Paul is wanting us to understand the true nature of the body of Christ. Okay? And he addresses this very topic. Okay? Beginning in verse 14 of chapter 12, he says, "Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say..." Does this sound familiar? "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Look at verse 18. "But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." You see, we have to understand that no part of the body gets to say, "Well, because I'm not this, then I'm not able to do that. Or because I'm not this part, I'm not important enough." Now, every part is just as important as every other part. You see, we live in a world and a culture today where folks like me, the preacher, gets in a lot of places put up on a pedestal. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go to places, I have people still call me Pastor Russ. And he puts you up on his pedestal because you're the preacher, you're important, and you're special. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. My job isn't any more important than anybody else's. It's just different. Okay? I have a different role than other people here do. But your job is just as important in the task that God has given you to do. And guess what happens if I don't do my job? Then what happens? Somebody else has to fill in and do it, don't they? Okay? Somebody's got to take up the slack. Well, the same thing is true for you in what you're supposed to be doing and what you are called to do. If you don't do what God has called you to do, then somebody else has to do it for you. See? And so, in God's plan and in His kingdom, you know, we need to be careful that we don't look at ourselves and say to God, "But who am I?" See, that you should ask me to do this particular task. Well, it's interesting that God answers Moses' question by telling him who he is. Okay? The conversation goes on as God tells him that He's going to be with him and so forth. Moses, if you go down to verse 13, Moses then says to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me,' and they ask me, 'What is His name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God's response is, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" So Moses basically is saying, "Well, you know, what's the name that I'm supposed to give to them if they ask me what your name is? Who is it that sent you?" And God's response is, "I am who I am." Now we need to understand the impact of that statement, you see. When God is identifying Himself as the I am, He's saying, "That's my name. And that's the name by which I want to be remembered by and known by from now on." Okay? I am. Now, in order for us to really understand and appreciate what that means, we have to go back and understand how would the Israelites have understood that statement. In other words, if they said to Moses, okay, Moses, well, what's the name of this God who sent you to us? And Moses would have replied, I am sent me. This is what they would have understood. They understand that as a statement of His ability and His presence. It's not just a designation of an identity, but it is a statement of His ability and His presence. You see, it is the name of the Lord. Notice that God tells him He is the Lord of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. You see, the Israelites, they had a word for the Lord. That word was Yahweh. Okay? Now, what Yahweh meant to the Israelites was He is, or He will be. It is the third person form of the verb that is translated, I am, or I will be. So you see, when God told Moses, when he objected, said, who am I? And God said, I will be with you. That's I am. You see? That is, I am. When God speaks of Himself, in other words, He is the I am. When we speak of God, then we speak of Him as He is. That's how the Israelites would have understood it. You see? He is able. He is present. He is with us. And that's how God wants to be known by us. So when someone would say, well, what's His name? You say, God's reply is, I am. And that's what it means, and that's why it is so significant. It's significant to you and I today because God hasn't changed His name yet. Okay? We need to understand that. I don't know of anywhere in the Scriptures where it indicates that God has changed His name for us New Testament people from what it was for the Old Testament people. He hadn't done that. He is still known as and needs to be known as I am. You see? Jesus Himself applied that designation, that name to Himself. Okay, look over in John chapter 8 when Jesus was in another one of those confrontations with the religious leaders and they're throwing at Him their father Abraham. Jesus said to them, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, they understood that to be that Jesus was claiming to be God. And that's why they tried to stone Him, you see, because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was making Himself equal with the I Am, or Jehovah, Yahweh, you see. Jesus is God. Amen? He is still the I Am. To us, He is, or Yahweh, He is God. God who is with us and still calls us to His purpose, just like He was doing with Moses. He's the same God, the same I Am. And His promise in His name is still the same. I am with you. I will be with you. See? As I set you to my task and my purpose. Well, then finally we come to the real gist of Moses' situation and his view on the problem. Okay? And that's number three on your list there, or C on your list. Please send somebody else. That's the real truth of the matter here. Okay? That really gets down to where Moses was. Okay? If you go back and you look through the text at all the different excuses that Moses was making as to why God has, can you imagine this, that God has made a mistake in choosing Moses to do this work? Okay? You know, there's first of all, you know, as we said a moment ago, who am I that I should go? I'm nobody, is Moses' first excuse, okay? And then if you go down to verse 13, as we talked about a moment ago, what's his name? He's basically saying, I don't know who you are. See? And then if you go to chapter 4 and verse 1, look at what he says here. Moses then answers God, well, what if they don't believe me or they don't listen to me and say the Lord didn't appear to you? And then look at verse 10. Lord, I've never really been eloquent of speech. I'm slow of tongue, and I'm just not a very good speaker at all. And each time Moses throws out another excuse and another objection to doing what God has called upon him to do, God answers that objection, doesn't he? And so finally Moses is forced to face the real truth of his dilemma. It's Moses' dilemma, it's not God's, okay? And it really does come down to verse 13. Lord, please send somebody else. Moses just simply didn't want to do it. See? Lord, please send somebody else to do this. Excuses. How many of them have you made for not doing the things that God has called upon you to do? See? Yeah, this is one of those lessons that, you know, you got to watch your toes on, okay? Because they're liable to get stepped on a little bit. And I don't apologize for that. I've told you that before. This is one of those lessons that's intentionally designed to challenge you to look inside yourself and to ask yourself, wait a minute, am I behaving like Moses right here? What excuses have I been making? I'm the wrong person for that job. I don't even know you very well, Lord. Well, whose fault is that? Okay? Well, what if they don't believe me? Tell them anyway. See? I'm just not a very good speaker. I can't really teach that Bible class. Or, you know, those children, they're a whole lot more, got a lot more energy than I do, and I'm not sure I can keep up with them. You know, who gave you the breath that you breathe to begin with? Just like God said, who gave you your tongue, Moses? You see, as long as we're convinced that whatever it is that God calls upon us to do, we have to do it on our own, then we're going to keep making excuses as to why we can't do it. But when we come to the point where we understand, as God told Moses, I will be... Oh, you don't sound very convinced of that. I will be with you. That's what God is saying. God is never, I don't know of any instance where God has ever called somebody to do something and refused to be there to give them what they need to do it. God will not call you to a task, give you something to do, and not give you what you need to accomplish that. God is not in the failure business. So He is not going to set you up to fail at something He called you to do to begin with. I mean, what kind of a God would that be? And who would want to follow a God like that? So it's time to stop making excuses. It's time for us, just like Moses had to do, to be willing to risk more than what other people think is safe. It's time for us to get out of our comfort zones and to go to places that even sometimes, like in Moses' case, was dangerous to go. When we understand from the heart that we are doing what God has called us to do, then we'll stop making excuses and we will do what He has given us to do. Keep in mind and understand, what God is calling each of us to do is going to be different for every person because we're all different people. But whatever it is that God calls you to do, you need to understand God will be with you. And He will give you what you need to accomplish the work that He has given you to do. So no more excuses. Okay? No more excuses. What are you willing to risk in order to do what God has called you to His purpose to accomplish? We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song as an invitation song. And I want you to be thinking about what I've just shared with you. Maybe think about the excuses, perhaps, that you've been making in your life to not do what you know God has called upon you to do. You need to get rid of those. Maybe Satan has given you lots and lots of excuses to why you don't need to become a Christian. And if that's what's been happening in your life, then I want to encourage you to get rid of those excuses and listen to what God is trying to say to you. He wants you to be His. If you're not a Christian already, you're separated from God by your sins. God would take those sins away from you if you would call upon Jesus as your Lord. Confess those sins, repent of those sins that are separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. That's what you need to do. I'll be up here in the front to receive anybody that would like to come up front and have a prayer or just let us know what's going on with you. Dale, will you be in the back? Dale will be in the back. If there's somebody who would rather have a private prayer conversation with him in the back, he'll be back there to receive you. We want to get rid of all the excuses in our lives to keep us from doing what God calls upon us to do. And so it's a wonderful time for you to begin doing that if that's something you're struggling with. Let's do it while we stand and sing. Steve, come on up.